Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw, the go-home Raw for Saturday's Backlash at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Just when you think it couldn't get any worse, the WWE writers say, hold my beer, and it becomes worse. The second night of this draft, it's intolerable. It's intolerable. I mean, at this stage of the game, folks, I'm sorry to tell you that the WWE has zero respect for your intelligence. They don't give one damn of whether you think something's logical or not. The draft was never taken seriously to begin with, not by the writers, not by the wrestlers, not by anyone. Mess. Big mess. And from the very first pick, you understood it was a big mess. The very first pick, Raw takes Rhea Ripley. Well, of course they did. I mean, after all, Bianca went over to SmackDown, so of course Raw's going to take Rhea Ripley. But here's the thing. You can take Roman Reigns, the Universal Champion, and Solo as one pick. You can take the entire OC as one pick. But Raw wastes Rhea Ripley and then the rest of the Judgment Day, rather than to just pick the Judgment Day. What sense does that make? What are the rules? Someone please explain to me the rules. And if adding insult to injury is Triple H coming out and saying, you know, I'm a stickler for the rules. What rules? The whole entire draft makes zero sense. Zero sense. And you had your opportunity, by the way, to separate Rhea Ripley from the Judgment Day. You obviously don't want to do that. I have no idea why. The whole thing is a absolute clusterfuck. But nothing screams no rules anymore than Rhea Ripley getting picked all by herself, Mike, only to later on have Raw waste another pick to the other three members of the Judgment Day. What the hell sense does that make?
It makes no sense, you know, and that's the thing. All the other drafts I won't call it sports, but all the other drafts, absolutely, including the baseball draft, who's basically numbers and all that stuff, but including the baseball draft, they make sense. Major League Baseball, NHL, NBA, NFL, WNBA. You know, all these drafts make total sense. There was very few things on this show, including the draft, that made sense. And we'll get to one later, I guess, that will make sense. But there are very few that made sense on this show. And that's the thing. And yeah, we get to see different people come out and make the pick. We got to see Charmel and all this stuff and all that stuff. But that's ancillary. That's extra. This draft made no sense whatsoever, and there's no rules. And this is insulting is the least of the words that I can say about this thing.
I know it's gotten to. I'll tell you what it was. After the second or third pick, I actually was laughing out loud. I'm saying you couldn't make this any stupider. If you literally said, how do we design this to be the stupidest thing we've ever done? How do we actually make it that way on purpose? You could not have done a better job than this. SmackDown takes Austin Theory. Raw takes Seth Rollins. SmackDown takes Charlotte Flair. Raw takes Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. But now here's the great one. SmackDown takes The Usos, okay. Well, I thought that the idea behind this of not putting the Usos in with the Bloodline was because you were going to separate them. Then you decide, nah, we're not going to separate them. We're just going to make them in two different picks, much like Rhea Ripley and the Judgment Day. They said this is going to change the foundation of the WWE. It didn't change anything. Just different people ended up on a different show. And the funny thing is, the people who didn't get picked have a better lot in life. The people who didn't get picked, that so-called free agents, they can go wherever they want. So you're better off not being picked. How does a draft work when you're better off not being picked? How in the world does that fly? I'm not even going to go down the whole list of whatever. Raw actually picked Trish Stratus at one point. Like, she's really going to compete on a regular basis. Jesus Christ. Trish Stratus got picked ahead of Karrion Kross. Trish Stratus. Trish Stratus got picked ahead of Bronson Reed. Fun Academy. And then the announcers are forced to say, what a great pick. No! You know, if I'm the WWE and you really want to do that, then you have to have the announcers at least be honest and say, that's a very unusual pick. Is Trish Stratus going to be someone who's going to regularly contribute to this show? That's an interesting pick. No, they have to say, oh, what a wonderful pick. It's a terrible pick. Terrible pick. We got a few NXT guys, Cameron Grimes, Katana and Caden. Pretty deadly. Whatever. No Braun Breaker, so I don't know. Look, the whole thing's a joke. It was worse than awful. It was worse than insulting. It was just downright disgraceful. Downright disgraceful. That's all I got to say about it. And I'm amazed. I'm amazed that the WWE thinks so little of their fans that they would actually try to pull this off as if it was something major. And oh, we have rules here. It's very well organized. It's not organized. Not organized at all. It was the exact opposite of organization. It was complete and utter chaos with no rules. No rhyme to reason, no nothing. Absolutely nothing. I can't imagine it getting much worse than this, Tom, and still keeping anybody's attention past the first 5 minutes.
Well, I got to tell you, the minute that they chose Rhea Ripley, I thought, and it would have made perfect sense, I thought that they were going to also choose eventually Dominic Mysterio, and the Judgment Day was going to get chosen by SmackDown, thereby thus, of course, splitting them up. Nope, you choose Rhea Ripley, and then later on you choose the Judgment Day. I just threw my hands up. I said, yeah, why would you do that? Exactly what you said a few minutes ago. Why would you not choose the whole Judgment Day in one shot, but you pick the whole OC on Friday night? You pick the whole Imperium on Friday night, but Judgment Day doesn't count like that? I just threw my hands up. I actually was just like, you know, I almost shut it off. I almost shut it off. That's how laughable it was. It's like the WWE came out, Triple H came out and said, I'm a stickler for rules. That's a translation. Let me back up a few steps and kick all our fans directly in the nuts because that's what you're worth to us.
And by the way, the Usos going like, you know, pick fourth or fifth, like they were such long-term champions and such an integral part of the Bloodline, like you wouldn't pick them almost immediately. I could see you maybe picking Rhea Ripley because you got to balance out the women's titles, but then you're not going to pick the Usos? That doesn't make any sense at all, Todd.
I actually like you said that this whole draft was a disaster. Disorganized, not like was back in 2003 when they had the WWE draft. The very first draft back in 2003 was more organized and cared about the fans.
Oh, this was a horror show. Then Paul Heyman comes out and does – look, I love Paul Heyman, but this was bad on all levels. And I'll tell you why it was bad. It pretty much tells you exactly what's going to happen. So Paul Heyman comes out talking about the fact that maybe Roman Reigns will get a hold of both belts. Well, no, he can't. No, he can't do that because he's got to stay on SmackDown. And this is a Raw belt. Then instead of trying to be arbitrary and saying whoever the champion happens to be at the end of this secondary title, just remember this. The real champion is on SmackDown. His name is Roman Reigns. And any time you want him to prove it, he'll be glad to do it. Then you would have left it open. No, instead he says, and there's any clowns and jokers in the locker room, and you knew who he's talking about. You knew he's talking about Seth Rollins. Why is he picking on Seth Rollins? Why wouldn't he say something about Cody Rhodes? Well, if Cody Rhodes wins and he wants another shot at my tribal chief, he knows where to find him. No, he instantly went to Rollins because Rollins is winning. You've just given it away. You've just given it away. So congratulations. That's brilliant writing when you just literally give it away. Seth Rollins comes out. Solo comes out. Match later on for tonight. And I got news for you, folks. The minute they announced the match, I said, well, no one's winning. It's going to be a double DQ, double count out. Solo's not losing to Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins sure as hell ain't losing to Solo. So this is just hype, and nothing's going to happen. They're going to dance around the ring for a few minutes and then either get disqualified or counted out or whatever it happens to be. That's not a main event. That's just bullshit. So we already knew, Mike, going into this big announcement that Solo was going to fight Seth Rollins, that there was going to be no winner.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. And as far as the thing with them giving away who's winning the title, and it's Seth Rollins and stuff, we all know what's going to happen. It's going to be some sort of a tournament, right? And I say this: if the two people who end up in the finals aren't Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, that's going to piss me off. Cody doesn't have to win it. It's just that, after all they've done with Cody Rhodes, and if he doesn't end up in the finals of that tournament for that title, that's going to piss me off.
I think he probably will be in the finals, but, I mean, you can't make it any more obvious. Literally, Paul Heyman's in the ring calling people backstage clown and a joker, so out comes Rollins. And then Paul Heyman literally says, Seth Rollins literally says, hey, Roman won't have to run around anymore, and you don't have to run around backstage pulling all the strings so that I don't get a title match against him that I'm really owed. And what does Paul Heyman say? He gets on the phone to Roman Reigns and says, Seth, you're pissing off the tribal chief. We already know what this is leading to. You've just given it away. You know, you had a little bit of intrigue with who might win that belt, and then you just said, oh, but we'll tell you. We'll tell you this week. We'll just tell you, flat out tell you. That's exactly what you did. Exactly what you did. I'm not against giving Seth Rollins the belt, but I am against flat out telling the audience what's going to happen, Tom, before it happens.
Yes, and who gets on the phone? Who gets on the phone in the middle of a promo? It actually would have been a lot funnier if you're going to turn it into a joke. If Paul Heyman pulled out like the old cordless phone he used to carry around in WCW, that would have been great. That I could get because is he really on the phone or isn't he? Like, does that thing still work? That I can get to kind of try to divert the attention. Talking to Roman. Give me a break. He called him a clown. Who else is he talking about? Is he talking about Cody Rhodes? And let me speak on Cody Rhodes for a second. Cody Rhodes has been jammed down our throat for a little over a year. He got injured. He comes back. He's going to finish the story, draws number 30 in the Royal Rumble, wins, and he doesn't win the belt at WrestleMania. Where's his rematch? Isn't he supposed to get a rematch? We're just going to move on. We're just going to have, Brock Lesnar attack him for no apparent reason.
Well, see, this is the thing. There's no rhyme or reason to the storyline, and Cody Rhodes is still talking about, I'm going to finish the story. Listen, if it comes down to Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, do you honestly think they're going to book Seth Rollins to lose again to Cody Rhodes? How many times is Seth Rollins going to lose to Cody Rhodes? Is that his career now? I get paid to lose to Cody Rhodes. It's not happening. It's not happening. Anyway, we then get Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez against Bayley and Dakota Kai. Of course we would, right? And I wonder who's going to win, because it's a non-title match and they need contenders for their title. So, control win. Whatever. You know, I was so bored by this time. I was so incredibly bored by this time. And so aggravated with the first round of the second night of the draft picks that I really just said to myself, can I continue to watch this? Can I honestly continue to watch this? Now, the only thing that was even remotely interesting in it, even remotely interesting, was the backstage segment in which Bayley said, I sort of feel like I let down my teammate, and I'm going to go ahead and try to make it up to him. And I'm saying to myself, this sounds like Bayley's maybe, Todd, beginning to start what could potentially be a face turn.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this is like a potential face turn for Bayley, and by the looks of it last night, it looks like she just completely lost in the shuffle of storylines.
They have no contenders for their tag team title, Mike, so they just, well, okay, we're going to switch a couple of people to brands, and we need somebody, so this is the way it's going to be. You lose a non-title match, and then we have a title match, and then we'll have some other people, and you lose a non-title match, and you get a title match. This is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and yeah, this is probably the beginnings of, this was one of the more interesting things on the show. This is the beginning of her turning face, you know, and we'll see what happens with that, and you know. And look, and we know what happened later on with what they're trying to do with Io Sky, right? So we'll see how that all goes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, because they need some severe revamping, and I mean some severe revamping of this women's division. And we may be getting it now. We got quite a few of the women coming up, including. The one thing the draft did, which was weird, is they got the tag team. Either way, they're going to have the NXT Tag Team Champions. That's bizarre. Anyway, Strowman and Ricochet defeat Alpha Academy. If any team in the history of the WWE has less charisma than Braun Strowman and Ricochet, I don't know who it is. Anything they had in the beginning where it was like, okay, one big guy, one little guy, we get it. Any of that is gone now. And it's just two guys who clearly have no chemistry whatsoever, pretending that they're liking each other and they're friends and they have a great chemistry, when they quite obviously do not. The team that does have the chemistry, Alpha Academy, they just keep losing. Quite obvious they're going to pull something with Otis and Chad Gable soon, because Chad Gable keeps doing things like he's late to make the save, or he loses or whatever. So obviously Otis is probably going to be going with Maxine. In between times, as Raw selected Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, SmackDown then selected the Usos. What took so long? Raw then selects the Judgment Day. Yay, the rest of the Judgment Day. And SmackDown selects the LWO. No comment. No comment at all. Just terrible. Just terrible. Again, a match that I guess it was okay, Tom, but I mean, I'm just not a Strowman Ricochet team supporter. I just don't think they have any chemistry, and yet they keep letting them win as if they're top contenders.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. And okay, so big deal. They move from SmackDown to Raw. So you're just going to continue to give us matches where, like, you know, the Braun Strowman and Ricochet continue to beat teams that are way better than them. What, and by the way, what does LWO now stand for? Is it Latino World Order? Is it losing wrestling matches over and over again?
Yeah, loser world order. That's all they do.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
It's
absolutely disgraceful. You know, I don't know what's going on with the Alpha Academy. We'll see. At least they got somewhat of a storyline, but, man, it's a weak one, and it's not doing them any favors right now. You know, don't destroy the people totally before you give them a new storyline, because if you destroy them totally, people don't care about them. Then here's the thing that really gets me. They said everyone's included in the draft, even Brock Lesnar, and then the announcement's made, well, Brock Lesnar's not eligible because he's renegotiated his deal, and he is now a free agent, so he can go on either show. Like I told you, since when is not being selected actually a reward? You're better off being able to go on either show. You're better off. But let me ask you a question. If you can go on either show and you're a free agent, what happens if you win the title? I thought that you did the draft because you wanted a definitive brand split. What happens if you win the title and you're a free agent? Oh, we haven't thought that far. Anyway, Brock Lesnar comes out, crashes the party in the draft selection. Cody Rhodes attacks him. I don't know. And basically, we've seen this before. We've just seen it before. So it's really no big deal. Nothing really happened. A couple of seconds of fighting. But other than that, Mike, again, it just felt forced.
Yeah, it felt forced, and that's the thing. And I'm not, you know, I don't have much to say about that. But also, one thing I want to say is that going back to the thing with the Maximum Male Models and what happened at the end of that match with that finish, I like the finish because you had, it wasn't just him not being able to get there. It looked like Maxine had tried to hook his ankle to keep him from getting there, which shouldn't work anyway, because she's what, 110 pounds, and he's what, 210 pounds? But
right.
Again, I like the finish, though.
Yeah, I mean, at least they got a storyline, so I'm not going to bitch about it too much, but, you know, again, don't destroy both of these guys before you give them a better storyline, because then we're not going to care about them. And if we don't care about them, then, you know, why would we follow them in the next storyline? We then get to Jimmy Uso against Matt Riddle in a solo match. The only thing funny about this was the stunt that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn pulled, where it was, they looked as though they bluffed getting hit with a chair, which sent Jay to the back. And then basically cheated for Matt Riddle, right? Cheated for Matt Riddle to get the victory. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the faces cheating to win a lot, even when they're cheated over and over and over again. I'm just not a big fan of it. I like the faces to win clean whenever possible. So I don't know. Having trouble with the phone lines, folks, so if you're listening, call back. All right, let's see if we're on the air. Caller, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, great. Had a little trouble with the phone lines. Okay, so at this stage, Riddle defeats Jimmy Uso, but he does it with the help of Kevin Owens. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of this type of thing, Tom. Just let Riddle win if he's going to win.
Yeah, and, like, I don't get it. I don't get why Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens would cheat for Matt Riddle, considering the backstage segment said, oh, did you hear that? He's going to want to hang out with us every day. That's just a little too much. They're kind of like, at one point, they're kind of saying, yeah, I don't really want him hanging around. And the next thing you know, they're cheating for him. Make up your mind, dude. Make up your mind. It's not only stupid, but it's confusing.
It's just bad writing. Bad writing in a nutshell. That's what I call it. Bad writing when you get confused to that point just with the motivations of the character. We then have the Miz TV segment with Shinsuke Nakamura. You know, here's the thing about Shinsuke Nakamura. Say what you want about him. He's a legend, and he's a guy who can really perform in the ring, and he's a guy who should be right at the top of your card. And in your infinite wisdom, you've decided it's not good enough for him to just be sort of flamboyant when he comes to the ring. And no, he has to do interviews. And he can't. He can't. Now we're going to make him this way. We're going to put him in comedy angles and stuff. Why? Why? Why isn't Shinsuke Nakamura just a serious competitor who doesn't really have much to say, but lets his actions speak for him? Nope. Got to be on the Miz segment where he basically says, you're awesome. In Japan, we would call it whatever it is, and I guess it's the Japanese translation for man with tiny balls. How long is this joke going to continue? Because it was funny for like 1 week, and now it's just stupid. And to get Shinsuke Nakamura dragged into the middle of this is the biggest mistake you've ever made. Shinsuke Nakamura is not supposed to be a cartoon character. Shinsuke Nakamura is not supposed to be some yuck-it-up-with-the-Miz type guy. Shinsuke Nakamura should have returned with a different purpose, and that purpose should have been solely focused on winning a championship. You could have played up. Listen, this guy, yeah, he got caught up a little bit in the fun and games here in the WWE, but he's a serious, serious competitor. And now he's laser-focused on his solo career, and this is going to be bad news for a lot of people in the WWE locker room because he's no cream puff. Nope, let's put him on with the Miz to get a Japanese the tiny balls chant going. It was pathetic. Talk about helping to destroy your own character, Todd. There's Shinsuke Nakamura now going into the comedy routine again. You don't need this.
Oh, dear. And not to mention that whatever he said, I actually looked it up, and I was like, that doesn't sound like the translation for tiny balls. It's not. And it's almost like you're not only insulting your fans, you're insulting the Japanese fans where he's popular. Yes, I get you. Why would you get – the dude can't speak English, barely. And it's like, oh, that sounds awesome. Is it awesome? He's like, sort of. Okay, well, the Japanese fans are probably watching you, and you're saying that phrase is the translation for tiny balls. It's not. It's actually, I was trying to look at my history to see what it actually means. But when I saw what it actually meant, it was like something about a samurai. I'm looking at my history to try to find it. It's not the translation for tiny balls is the point, and it's pandering, and it's dumb.
It's dumb to even put him in those situations, Mike, because Shinsuke should, at this stage of his career, be thought of as a really serious competitor who's looking to solidify the later portion of his career with another title run, not yucking it up with the Miz.
Right, and that's the thing. And I mean, I had no problem when they were having him, you know, him and Rick Boogs together, because actually Rick Boogs served a purpose, and he was still a serious guy when he was with. Yeah, he was doing all the, you know, all the histrionics and all the hand signals and all that stuff. But he was still a serious guy, even with Rick Boogs, you know. So, yeah, he should be a serious guy. In fact, you know, tell you the truth, I still think he should be in that group with AJ and the Good Brothers. But that's just me.
It would be better than what he's doing now, yucking it up with The Miz, that's for sure. We then get Almost, who just squashes some local competitor, whatever. I'm so over this Almost thing, and it's not because I don't like Almost. It's because you handle him completely wrong. You first started him out, and it's like he squashed AJ Styles after he turned against him. Squashed him. Squashed everybody who came up against him for about, a couple of weeks, and then Bobby Lashley kicked his ass. Then they tried to bring him back and say, nobody can beat him again, and then Brock Lesnar. And now they're trying to do the same thing again and say, who can beat this man? Well, I don't know. Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar, probably Seth Rollins. How many? You want the list? And after the Seth Rollins loss, he'll just come back and squash local competitors, and they'll say, who could ever beat this man? What are you doing? Match would have mattered if Almost right now, as we speak, was undefeated. And you say, man, he's fighting Seth Rollins. Now, Rollins is way smaller than him, but he's a much better wrestler. Can Rollins overcome the undefeated Almost? No. We don't even take Almost seriously. It doesn't matter if he's 17 feet. We're not taking him seriously because you didn't take him seriously, WWE. You didn't take him seriously. I don't know. Just one of those things that, again, the WWE seems to revel in treating their fans like they're dumb. Oh, remember, this is Almost. Nobody's ever beaten him. Except that one time twice Bobby Lashley. Oh, yeah, and Brock Lesnar. But aside from that, yeah, I don't know. The shine has come off of Almost, Todd, and I believe he's losing to Seth Rollins, so.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. When he first came on to the main roster back in 2020-21, he was dominant. Then, all of a sudden, now you're jobbing him out to guys like Lesnar and Lashley. Come on now. You're supposed to be a big, dominant guy, try to win matches and possibly championships.
Almost should have just been the bodyguard of MVP and his group, and whoever got in their way, he squashed them. He didn't really get in the ring to compete. And then you make it special where they say, yeah, he's great on the outside of the ring when he's, you know, grabbing somebody from behind or sneaking in the ring or jumping in afterwards. I want a fair shot at him, and then you let somebody actually have a match with him. But it's rare. He shouldn't be a normal competitor, Tom, where he's in the ring on a regular basis. It should be occasionally when the situation calls for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to be honest with you, the whole Almost thing, I'm over. And the fact that he's a free agent because of reasons. I don't get he's a free agent. So let me get this right. You pick the LWO who loses every match, but Almost, who fought Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, is a free agent. So he gets it. He did something so fantastic that he gets to go on both shows.
Right.
It's just, you know, the only time that kind of thing made sense was when I forget his name now. He teamed with Rhino. He wore the shirt that said, I got kids. I can't remember.
Yeah, he's Slater.
That's the only time it made sense because they were kind of trying to, like, get a job. You know what I mean? Like, so they did gimmicks. They did skits backstage. That's the only time it ever made sense to be on both shows to try to acquire yourself a position. To have you lose at WrestleMania against Brock Lesnar. I get Brock Lesnar being on both shows because he's in a quote attraction and he doesn't show up all the time. I get
right.
it. He'll do whatever he wants. Yeah, I get it. Almost. And then you put him against a local competitor who's about 87 pounds And the announcer,
here's the thing. If they just said to me, look, the only person not eligible for the draft, the only person that's a free agent and can go on both shows is Lesnar because he's negotiated that in his contract, I would have said, that makes sense. That actually makes some sense. He's a special deal, and okay, they're going to do that for him. But then when you say, well, that's the same deal Dolph Ziggler got, that's the same deal Von Wagner got. What the hell, Mike? It doesn't make any sense at all. It's just tragic.
Yeah, it's tragic. It doesn't make any sense. And here's the deal. I mean, look, this is supposedly the go-home show, right?
Yeah.
Let me say it a different way. It's half of the go-home show because the other half of the go-home show is going to be on Friday, right?
Right.
So think about this. Normally when we probably have a few more other things to talk about with this show, but I'm gonna go ahead and get my grade right now because right now it's, if this was just a go-home show, it'd be an F. Right now, because of SmackDown on Friday, it's going to be an incomplete because it's just so bad. There are a few little possibilities of inklings of something here, but not enough to make it anything good, right?
No, there's nothing. And here's the thing that really gets me. Next up we have the LWO against the Judgment Day. And we really are supposed to think the LWO is going to win. Poor Rey Mysterio takes the loss now, probably asked to take the loss. Probably said, listen, Santos can't take another one. If Santos takes another one, he's done, so I'll take the loss. He probably actually did that. The only thing that was good about this segment, in any way, shape, or form, because you knew the LWO was going to lose because they're just losers. The only thing was Dominic Mysterio, I don't give one single damn whether you like him or you hate him or you think he's good or you think he's terrible. Dominic Mysterio is so over. He is so over as a heel. It's unfreaking believable. And this is after the Rey Mysterio angle is over. And the first thing I said was, can he maintain that heat after Rey beats him? Because that's what everybody's looking for. Rey beats him and they're like, he's just some punk now, who cares? No, he's maintained the heat. He was able to maintain the heat. Dominic Mysterio is hated. I would say he's the most hated person in WWE. They won't even let him talk. They won't even let him talk. You've got something with him. I don't give a damn if people say, well, he's not polished. I don't care. If you're getting that kind of crowd reaction, I don't give one damn if you know two wrestling moves. I don't care. You got something because you're riling that crowd up. They didn't do it when Finn Balor talked. They didn't do it when Damian Priest talked. They didn't do it when Rhea Ripley talked. You hand the microphone to Dominic, and Jesus Christ, the roof comes off the building. You got something here, WWE. Don't blow it. Don't blow it. Now, you had your chance to separate him from the Judgment Day, and that's exactly what you should have done. Exactly what you should have done. But you didn't. So now they got to hang around Finn, and they got to hang around a guy who's probably going to lose to Bad Bunny. He's able to beat Rey Mysterio, but not Bad Bunny. That would be going too far. Very, very disappointed in how they're handling the LWO. The pop they got when Rey Mysterio said, I'm reforming the LWO, I said, here we go. Now we're going to have something. Now we're going to have a really good faction war. And we're going to flesh these characters out. All these guys, Escobar and his crew, are going to get fleshed out. Zelina Vega is going to get fleshed out a bit. Rey's obviously going to be the leader, the de facto leader. But we're going to really see some faction wars here. It's going to be fun. No, they're just Lucha House Party. Come out to lose. That's what they do. You just come out and lose. Loser world order. Terrible. Only thing that's good, Mike, is I've never heard a crowd react like this to anybody before. They just will not let Dominic even say two words.
That what's happening there reminds me of originally when Hogan turned heel and went into the NWO. Remember what would happen? He would try and speak, and the crowd was not having it. Garbage would be put in the ring. Booze would be heard all over the place. You maybe could even hear some, you know, some curses, but you couldn't hear. Hogan couldn't speak, and that's where we are with Dominic right now. They got something with Dominic. They need to get him and Rhea away. Now, granted, I like what they're doing. They finally got it in their heads that this whole mommy thing is a big deal. And you see Rhea and Dom with the mommy T-shirts, right?
Yep.
Those things are going to sell.
They are so much better off on their own, getting away from the rest of Judgment Day. I just don't understand why the WWE does not see this. Tom, is there any reason to even have the LWO at this point if you're going to use them this way?
There's not, unless when the minute that they were formed, they get, like, I can understand if they're 50-50. I can even understand if they're, you know, 70-30 because they're fighting teams better than them. They're fighting the same people over and over again, and they keep losing. Well, Santos does anyway. Rey Mysterio probably felt bad for him. And let me switch to the contrast, heavy contrast, of Damian Priest rattling off in Spanish, which you have a high amount of people in Texas where they were that speak Spanish. Okay, instead of listening intently like they did when Dominic did it in Phoenix, they were chanting what?
Right.
That's the ultimate sign of, dude, we don't like you. Please shut up.
Yeah, and listen, if you want to book this match and you're trying to get some, you know, interest in the pay-per-view and you need to get the LWO a win, can you please explain to me why you couldn't have had Damian Priest in the ring with Santos Escobar getting ready to finish him off and Bad Bunny's music hits? Damian Priest looks up to the walkway like he was going to come with a kendo stick and Escobar rolls him up for a quick three count and it was just a ploy. Then you would have said, oh, my God, Escobar got the win. Bad Bunny sort of cost, or at least his music, cost Damian Priest the win. Now Priest is furious and says, that does it. I'm not just going to beat you at Backlash. I'm going to end your career. That would have at least promoted it, Mike, and we would have got a much-needed win for the LWO.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And look, this whole thing with the LWO does – I mean, they're trying, so well, we know that Zelina's going to lose, right? We know that when she faces Rio. We know that.
Sure.
But if you wanted to put some doubt in your head, in our head, that Zelina's not going to lose, you should have had the LWO win. You know, that's how you put doubt in somebody's head. I mean, we know that Zelina Vega's not going to lose, not going to beat Rhea Ripley, all right? But you want that doubt. You want it. That's what you want.
Of course it's what you want. Of course it is. And again, if you had Bad Bunny's music hit, Damian Priest get wrapped up for the quick three count by Santos Escobar, it would have given Damian Priest a reason to say, that's it. That's the final straw. Now I'm really going to do a number on Bad Bunny. Would have been worth it. Would have been worth it. I have to say this before we get to the main event. My fellow countryman there, Kevin Patrick, I can't listen to him anymore. I can't listen to him. You've got to get him off commentary. This ridiculous way he has of being breathless. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the LWO. Oh, everything sounds like the Titanic is sinking, and he's on the goddamn ship. So overly dramatic about every little thing. He tries to say everything breathlessly. And here comes Santos Escobar. Oh, God, slow down. It sounds literally sounds like he's going to have a panic attack when he is doing his commentary, and it's getting annoying. It's one thing to use that occasion when something major is happening. But now he'll do it with anything. The Miz! Oh, here comes The Miz! Yeah, yeah, The Miz is coming to do Miz TV, Kevin. The world is not ending. They've not fired nuclear missiles at us. Why does he do that? Listen to him next time and watch how he tries to do the breathless, oh my goodness, voice on every single thing he says. It's damn annoying. And it makes it very hard to watch Raw. Very hard to watch Raw. Anyway, Seth Rollins solo, of course we know what's going to happen. There's not going to be no conclusion to this match. And, oh, there isn't a conclusion to the match. Everybody jumps in, and we get a free-for-all, and then this show is a waste of time. I'm sorry. And here's the thing. With all due respect, there is no such thing as incomplete. Your show's not incomplete. Your show is finished. You had a beginning, and you had an end, and it sucked. So there's nothing incomplete about that. It sucked. Okay? That's as simple as I can put it. Incomplete is, well, let's see what happens next week because they have this thing going, and if it goes this way, maybe the grade will improve. There's nothing that's going to happen that would improve that this grade. This grade is, this is an F minus. The draft sucked. The matches were poor. The booking was terrible. The interviews was lousy, dead boring, completely predictable, nonsensical, illogical. I don't know what more to say. I don't know what more to say. I've never been so bored on a Raw in the last probably 6-8 years. I'm literally sitting in my chair saying, when will it end? I'm just about bored to tears. I'm sick of Kevin Patrick. Oh, this is the greatest. Oh, my God. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of the draft. Oh, the rules are very important. No, there are no rules, Triple H. There's obviously no rules. This is the most earth-shattering announcement in history. It'll change the trajectory. WWE's changed nothing. It's changed absolutely nothing. Free agents are actually better off. It's better that you didn't get picked than you did get picked, which is really, really, really stupid. What more can you do? What more can you possibly do to sabotage your own product? And you used Rey Mysterio, a legend, to take a loss to set up a rapper against a wrestler. When Damian Priest took that microphone and said, Bad Bunny, now I'm coming after you, I'm like, they literally just threw Rey Mysterio, a man who this year went into the Hall of Fame. They literally threw him under the bus to set up Bad Bunny. To me, that's completely complete. That's complete garbage. So I understand where you're coming from, Mike, but I'm telling you right now, to me, this was very complete, complete trash. I'm giving this the lowest score I've ever given a Raw. I'm giving this an F minus. This was a waste of 3 hours of television time. Tom, what's your thought?
Oh, it was definitely a waste, and I got to tell you that if I could not give this a grade and kind of just, you know, bypass it and give it just a zero, I would. But since we're giving it a letter grade, I give it a big fat F for a waste of my time, you know, watching. So I have not – right. I don't think I've ever been this bored with Monday Night Raw. There was a time in Monday Night Raw where we were all like, if we missed one segment, it's like, oh, man, I can't believe I missed that segment. And they didn't do recaps. This show was either let's see the draft again. Let's see what happened last week. But the saving grace that actually there was two things that made me laugh was when Shawn Michaels or when what's his name didn't even come out to do his draft picks. And Shawn Michaels had to ad-lib. That was kind of funny. And Kevin Patrick saying something about families eating out or something about eating out, and Corey Graves goes, it's a family show, Kevin.
Yes. Well, that proves the announcers were even bored. They were trying to entertain themselves because they were so bored. I sat there saying, is this Raw a special, like, seven-hour Raw? Because if God is my witness, I thought, well, wait a minute. I thought there was a different main event. And I'm like, oh, my God, there's another hour of this show. That's how bad it was. Todd, what's your rating?
I got to give it a flat F. You know, it failed on me as well.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, I don't understand. Because here's the thing. It was such an easy. This is a softball. You've got a pay-per-view coming up. You want to promote it. You've got the draft at the same time. If you made this part of the draft at least make sense and built up your pay-per-view with the people on Raw who are in it in the proper way, it's not hard, and this would have at least made it a B or a B minus. Failure to do that, it almost looks like they were writing it as they were going. And this is why it's a disaster. I mean, they literally come out and say Brock Lesnar's a part of this draft, and then Triple H has to come out and say, no, he's not, like it's a last-minute deal. The whole thing felt like it was being written as the show was being run.
Right, and we've talked about this before. We've talked about booking malpractice. This is writing malpractice right here. I mean, think about it. This is even worse than what they've done when we've talked about, well, we're going to go in there and throw something at the wall and see what sticks, right? Like,
right.
We're going to go in there and write it the day of, right? It's almost like they didn't write anything. It's almost like
That's
they didn't
exactly
write anything.
Right.
And, oh, you know, hope for the best, right? Expect the
That's
worst
what it felt
hope
like.
For the
let
best.
Let me tell you something. There used to be a group called the Plasmatics. Early in their career, they were a punk band, then they kind of switched to heavy metal. But in their first album, they had a track, and they said, on this particular track, all of the musicians were put in separate rooms, and nobody knew what each other was playing. So they just played what they wanted to play, and they blended it all together, and it was just noise. The drums were off beat because they didn't know what everybody was playing. The guitars were doing one thing. The bass was doing another. Everything was off tune. Everything was out. It was just noise. And they did it as a kind of a, you know, F you to the music business. Like, we can do whatever we want. We're a punk. This writing felt like, Mike. It felt like none of the writers knew what the other writers were doing. So it was just a mess. And when it all came together, like, well, I didn't know you were doing that. Well, I didn't know you were doing this. Well, I wouldn't have done that if I thought you were doing this. Well, I wouldn't have done this. It all contradicted each other all night long, Mike.
Actually, you're right. And think about this. I go back to that one woman writer that wrote the whole thing with Mandy Rose and Otis, right? And when she got fired, that whole thing fell apart, right? It's like this woman came up with something. Now she's back, but this woman came up with something, and it appeared that they didn't know what she came up with. And it caught on, and we know what happened with that, but it caught on, and it seemed like they did. A lot of times it seems like one hand doesn't know what the other. You got a right over
That's
here
it.
And Triple H over here, and he doesn't know what they're writing, and they don't know what's going through his mind when there should be meetings and everything else. And, okay, I'm writing this for this guy, and what do you think, Triple H? Triple H comes in here and says, okay, for this guy here, I'm writing this, and it may not come together with you, but I'm writing this, right? It seems like
they
don't...
Yeah, there's no continuity. They don't have any continuity. You want to get things moving, let's offer the WWE a free suggestion. You want to get things moving... Get your writers all in the room, like Mike said. Make sure everybody knows what they're doing. You want to do something with this Alpha Academy thing, here's what you do. You separate Chad Gable so Chad Gable can go ahead and start competing on his own. You get Otis into the into the Maximum Male Models, where he's being used like a friggin' horse by the Maximum Male Models so they can win matches, and Maxine can look like $1 million, and she couldn't give one flying fuck about Otis. And they laugh about him being a fat slob and an idiot every minute that he's not around. Hire Mandy Rose back to come in and tell Otis you're being used, okay? Then you got something. Then she can go talk to Chad Gable and say he's still your friend. He's just, you don't understand what's going on in his life. Thinks she loves him. He thinks, you know, whatever. I'm partially to blame, I guess, because I really did like him. And so I guess he thinks these glamorous women like him, she's a user. And I'm going to prove it to him. You got it back. You got the storyline back where Mandy Rose is the good guy trying to get Otis away, trying to reunite Alpha Academy. And then you'd have Alpha Academy and Mandy Rose against Maximum Male Models and Maxine as a decent, third storyline, Tom, but a good one. Fans loved Mandy Rose and Otis together.
Yeah, they sure did. And even when, there was, like, stupid stuff happening, fans were just like, that's cool, I like that. Because it made sense, and it was fun, and people were looking forward to those two, you know, getting into some kind of, you know, debauchery. I loved it. I thought it was great. The fact that they hired...
It was great. And, Mike, if you bring that back, Mandy Rose would be such a hero because that people would be like, Otis is being used because she's beautiful and she knows she's got him wrapped around her finger. But Mandy Rose could be the person to take Otis's eye away from.
Yes. I mean, and it could be we would look at it as the reigniting of that relationship.
And you know what else it would do, Mike? It would do good publicity for the WWE, who probably fired her for not a very good reason, and now they hired her back. That to me, that would be pretty good.
Yep.
Will they do it? Hell no, they won't do it, because they don't give one flying damn anymore. And I'm tired of hearing, well, the Triple H era is about to take place again after SummerSlam. I heard that about after WrestleMania, and I heard about after Backlash, and I heard about whatever. It's a crap show right now, and I'm tired of it. Backlash better be damn good, because they're losing me quick. They're losing me really, really quick, because nothing is interesting anymore. You've taken even the most interesting things and made them uninteresting. So the stuff that was borderline is now insufferable. I hope they can rebound from this, but, you know, I'm not giving them a whole lot of optimism on this. And I'm not putting my eggs in, pretty soon Triple H will come on his white horse and take over. Yeah. We've seen this before and it didn't happen. Anyway, we'll be back here on Friday. We'll do our full Backlash predictions. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.